I have two texts this afternoon. One, a major one, if you like, and one for the purposes of today, a subsidiary one. It isn't, of course, subsidiary. The main text is in John 8, verse 12, which if you find it, you'll have it open, and then we'll turn to the other one. In John 8 and verse 12, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, we'll come back to that one, so leave something in the place there, and turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That verse describes what has happened to a believer and is in itself an incentive to someone who is not yet committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and for whom the words of John 8:12 will be particularly relevant in a few moments. But to start with, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, this most wonderful picture, God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now the very first words of the Bible are, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And Paul, in writing, by the power of the same Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis 1, Paul, writing by the same Spirit, says, the very same voice that said, let there be light, and there was light, said to the individual person who was in darkness, let there be light, and they awoke to believe the gospel. The darkness was a different darkness. The darkness was a worse darkness, but it was also a primeval darkness. But into that darkness shone the power of the gospel by the Spirit. But it needs that same awakening power of God to make an unbeliever believe, to make a person who is not the Lord's to become the Lord's. They can't do it themselves. They're dead. They're dark. They don't know what they're missing. They don't know what's going on. But God says, let there be light. And light shines. All of a sudden, they wake up to a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ and of his dear Son and of his death and his shed blood and his friendship and all the other things that go with it. So first of all, Paul here would speak to believers to remind them what happened to them. And it is such powerful picture language about a reality that happened. It isn't a picture. It's not like watching a film. It is a picture of what happened when the world was created. But the believer, it is not a picture of what happened in their heart. But it's the same power, the same word, and the same light, but showing itself in a different way. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ does the same for the darkened spirit, the darkened habits, the black thoughts of mankind. But the light of the world in which we see does for the darkness of that same world. We're told a couple of verses before, 2 Corinthians 4:4, we're told that Satan has blinded the minds of those who believe not. But God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's the believers who say that. See, it's not right to say at a funeral service, the light of God has shined in our hearts, because it hasn't shined in the hearts of everyone that's there. And they may jump to a wrong conclusion. So when we read a verse like that, we try to be certain that as Paul was writing to Christians, that it is only Christians that understand that God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It hasn't happened in some. Yet, we pray that it will. But this word of the Lord is a command. Now, of course, we can be asked to do things and we can say, shall we, shan't we? We can dither, or we can be outright disobedient. Or as the Lord Jesus Christ knows, because he said of two people, do you remember, when asked to do something, he says, I go, sir, but didn't go. But the same, in response, another person said, I'm not going, but actually, he did go. And Jesus asked now, who actually did the will of God? The one who made a fuss, or the one who said he wouldn't and didn't? Well, here we have. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. It was the very first act of creation recorded in the Bible. Already the black earth was void and dark, but this is the first action of which we see in the Bible. He said, let there be light. And the moment his voice spoke, light happened. And God's command is similar in the heart. It won't brook delay. When he actually speaks effectively, when he actually speaks deep to the heart, he creates light in the heart. And the heart knows it understands. It knows it's been delivered. It knows that the thing that had a grip no longer has a grip. It knows it's entering into a new world, the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It knows. It hears the voice of God. God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The aim of all this is that we might be able ourselves to see God, to know God, to see his glory, to understand him. Though he is invisible, it's only the brightness of light hideth God. That though he can't be seen, he is there, and we see him. And it's through the gospel, through the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is his interfacing with us by the power of the gospel. So the gospel brings us the knowledge of the glory of God. Now that's just a little background of what goes on. We turn back now to John chapter 8 and verse 12, where we have some years before the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, let's see that the Bible says first that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. Let's begin where we all began, in darkness. I invite you to cast yourselves back to your first awareness of yourself. Might be difficult. But when were you first aware that you were you? When we were young, we just did things. We didn't reflect very much. We did mostly what we were told to do. And then there perhaps came a day, it must be different with every person, but this awareness of self comes when you suddenly realize that in some ways you were like everybody else, but in my case, you see, I was a naughty boy. I was a rude boy. I never did as I was told, boy. I was aware of personal dispositions that seemed to set me at a disadvantage against other people. I couldn't wait to go to the toilet when I first went to primary school and had to run out in the class, and everybody thought that was funny. It's not lasted with me for life, but it was part of the growing awareness that I'm me. Sometimes I wished I could be like some others who seem normal and like the rest, you know. Didn't always seem to be getting into trouble. Because you know nothing then, you're only you. You don't know what all the others are thinking and what's going on in their life and in their family life. That happens when you get older. You're only aware that you're you. But you are aware that there are things about you that are natural, things about you that everybody else has, things about you in which you are different, things about you for which children bully you, and maybe you're proud of those things, or maybe you're ashamed of those things. There are all sorts of things, but we come to know that we are us. I'm just trying to paint a picture very poorly of our awareness in our first days of ourselves being us. And I invite you to put yourself in that position. And then there comes a time, perhaps, but it does seem to come to many, and it certainly came to me, when there are things that are, let's say, not so much natural and bad as positively wrong that we get involved in. Now, it is true, and it was true for me too, that the things that were done at home were largely thrown overboard when I went out with the other boys. The standards of at home and what we got up to together when there was no parent or anyone else in authority to watch were known to the conscience not to be right. I got into scrapes, of which the classic one was setting a barn alight, and all other sorts of things. As you look down from the lofty heights of being grown up, for the most part, most things that children do perhaps are relatively unimportant. But you see, the child is the father of the man. The things he thinks, he'll continue to think unless he's changed when he's 15, 25, 45, 55. He won't change. So if they're dark, and if they're evil, and if they're black at that age, then they're likely to stay like that by nature, unless there is an intervention, unless there is a movement of God to change that heart. Now, of course, I was not particularly aware that some of these things were dark. But then we're ignorant of what we're missing. As I got a little older, I always laugh when I look at it now. I never thought that Sundays were boring, as most of the boys that I knew at school thought they were boring. But for me, they weren't boring for one very good reason. It was the day when I went out and bunked all the railway sheds in London that I could lay my hands upon between about 9 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the evening. Nothing to do with the Lord. But you see, what do you and I think now of the Lord's Day? What was I doing on the Lord's Day? It didn't appear to be evil. Well, there were some bad things in it, as I should tell you in a minute. But I wasn't aware that I was walking in darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? It seemed quite normal, it seemed quite natural, it seemed ordinary. My idea, of course, was to climb over the wall of every railway shed that I could get hold of in London, and there's more in London than anywhere else, all there was. I knew the way, I knew where to park the bike, I knew where to climb over the barbed wire or to climb underneath the fence, and I knew where to climb, I knew where the foreman had his office, I knew how to walk up and down the lines of all the engines, I knew how to make a note of the number without anybody taking much notice that that was what I was doing, because that would give the game away. I knew where to take the photographs if I wanted to. I knew if I wanted to go in the footplate, I could where to climb up in the footplate. Nobody would see me and look around at the things and hop down again. And I would do that on the LMS shed, the LNER shed, the GWR shed, the Southern shed, came British Railways, and I did that. And apart from the fact that I was trespassing, would never do, of course, for modern days and health and safety, should have been dead long since. But I didn't see any particular darkness in it. I didn't see that I was desecrating the Lord's Day every single day I did it, mind you. So I'm trying to say to you, there is darkness before we're saved. And from our first awareness, because first there is that which is natural and afterwards that is spiritual, those days are dark. Looking back, we may see that they were very dark. Looking back, we may see that the things that we didn't see were dark at all, we now consider to be dark. There may be things we did, like stealing or something, that we knew were dark at the time. The world walks in darkness. Everybody is born, in that sense, in darkness. By nature, we are disobedient and walking according to Adam. There is no healthiness, and to use the picture we're using now, there is no light in us. And every believer knows that. And that's why the picture of God commanded the light, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, is a tremendous picture. It rings absolutely true to the experience. He shone light through the gospel records as the Lord was beginning to convict us. The Lord would shine lights, as you would go with a torch, if you like, into a shed, and you put into the corner, and some creepy thing would move out of the way, and some rat would go out of the way, and something else would fly out, because the light has been let in. And we began to understand that there were evil things in our hearts, and that as the light of the gospel began to shine in, certain things would leap out and go and hide themselves. Certain things we thought, certain ways of thinking, certain actions, these would begin to disappear. But others will only get tighter and tighter and tighter into the corner. So that when the Lord Jesus says, walking in darkness is what men do, then that's the sort of thing that he means. You see, even our best deeds may be done without us really realizing just how bad are the things we're doing. And of course, pride is a terrible thing. We can do our good things out of sheer pride. If we do things that the world thinks, you think of these wealthy people, perhaps we think they can afford it, but they give loads of money for really good causes in Africa, you know. But as he said of the lady who put in the farthing she gave was the last she had. None of these rich men give the last that they have. They only give, though it's millions, what they really can't miss. What's the motive? Is it to appear good? Because that God would hate, you see? Is it out of pride? For God puts the proud down and exalts the humble. And all I'm trying to illustrate, and there may be things in our own lives, are that there are even maybe in those days things that we thought were good. that actually God hates in us. Because they're still directing our thoughts, still directing other people. Hey folks, look at me. We should be looking at the Lord. And God doesn't want people to be diverted to look at us when they should be looking at him. And he might view with his special displeasure some of the good things that we thought we do. I'm sure some of the youngsters have heard me. We probably talked about it at Foxley. But you see, which is worse, kicking a player on a football field or insulting the referee? The answer is insulting the referee. Because, I mean, they're human. Got no referees, you've got no game. It's bad to kick a person. But ultimately, to go for the rule, to go for the authority, to destroy the rules, to undermine the one, is the most serious thing of the lot. It may not look to be, but in fact it has the greatest threat. It is the greater enmity. And of course deserves as much punishment as the kicking somebody hard where they were on their shins. Now, it is true, you see, that some of the things that we think are all right and are not insulting God are quite need to be dealt with by God as powerfully as the more obvious gross sins. Look at it this way. Before I was converted, if I was allowed into heaven before I was changed, as I was, you would know full well you'd wreck the place. I don't know that you would get up early every morning in heaven. It's a silly picture, isn't it? But you would still come down in a bad temper every day and the whole of heaven would be wrecked. You can't go to heaven in that sort of way without that cured, you see? And whatever else it is that you have that makes life a misery for others has got to go before you go to heaven, because it can't exist in heaven. And God has ordained not that you can carry on through life like that, and the moment you die is going to be a wonderful transformation. There will be a wonderful transformation, but transformation of character happens between when you're saved and when you go to glory. So it is, we walk in darkness before we're believers. But Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't mean those who were just followed after him, because a lot of those did vanish afterwards. Following me in the Bible means believing in him. Following him in the days when he was around, because they believed. Following him now as those who believe him, though we don't see him. So following means believing. Following means trusting. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, the one who believes in me shall not walk in darkness. That's half of his promise. The one who believes in the Lord Jesus shall not walk in darkness. Now that alerts us, doesn't it? We have been walking in darkness. And immediately Jesus says, all right, there's going to be a change. Believing in me means you will not continue as you were. Believing in me means that you will have a different set of values. You will look to me instead of to the world and the things you enjoy. One way of living comes to an end. You will live in a different way. It's more true even than Jesus speaks of here. Because we're made new creatures. We're no longer Adam's descendants, but the Lord Jesus Christ's descendants. We are in Adam and no longer, we're in Christ and no longer in Adam. There has been a fundamental shift, a fundamental change, a fundamental work of the Holy Spirit that, though we look the same as everybody else, has actually changed the heart of a believer when they've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, Jesus, darkness was given that we might be able to tell the difference between darkness and light. as well as actually, of course, sleeping at night and living by day in the light. He uses it as an illustration, doesn't he? He says, are there not so many hours in the day? Walk while you have the light. Because you can't walk in those days, effectively, after dark. Or, you could look at it this way. If you walk after dark, you walk with the help of a torch or a fambo, but you can only see a little bit, whereas when it's daylight, you can see everything. When the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is opened up to us, we are able to see not only the bit of life that's before us, but to understand a whole philosophy, understand a whole worldview, understand a whole Christian approach to things. We're in the light. And through the Bible, more and more is revealed to it. But we don't even start until the Spirit of God has given us a new birth, a new life. Until it is that the Lord Jesus has shone in our hearts, commanded that light to shine in the darkness. Till that has happened, we walk in darkness. We have the light of life. We have daylight. But we have what it's the picture of. We have the light of the Spirit. The Spirit is light. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now again, the Bible uses the picture of enlightenment to talk about the awakening of the mind, the awakening of the understanding. And the mind and the emotions and the understanding, the affections and the understanding, are both awakened by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ operates by the Spirit and the Word operating in our minds. It is our minds that are changed, and through our minds, our affections are changed. There's a very funny saying in Proverbs about the lazy man. And he excuses his laziness by saying, my hands find it very difficult to work. Of course, we know that's nonsense. The brain tells the hands what to do. The hands only find it difficult to work because the man himself doesn't want to. So we know it's not right when he says, my hands find it difficult, hard, to get up in the morning. No. When the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ comes, it comes by the Spirit and the Word working on our mind, which in its turn works on the affections. It could be simultaneous. Changes our affections. We love the Lord more than everything else put together. And we love the Lord's people. And the whole relationship with family and friends changes. It was almost instantaneous with me. I remember when the Lord saved me, there were some things that weren't instantaneous. But one of the things that happened was I didn't go out with the gang anymore. I never went out with them again. Because I didn't want to do the things that they had done, and was I happily done too until an hour before. But you see, this is what happens. The Lord, who is the light of the world, shines a light. Now, I couldn't have conceived any affection for that. If somebody had told me in cold blood, that is distinct from hearing the gospel preached when I was sitting under the ministry, but if anybody had said, you know, there's a better way, forget all these things and just love Christ, I would have said, no thank you. No thank you, I like what I've got. But once the Spirit of God has opened up the love of Christ and the conviction of sin and the holiness of God and what he thinks about that and what great love and what great pardon he has through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, once these things have begun to work, then those other things begin to pale into insignificance. But that light which Christ is is the light, of course, of perfection, the light of love and the light of holiness. But it's all in the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. I am the light. I show you the things that are right. I show you the things that are true. Even things that are invisible, you must trust me for. But he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now we say that one man's meat is another man's poison. And that is very true. I can't see particularly how anybody enjoys drawing or anything like that. My artistic temperament goes purely, really, on music, which it's not very good at, and reading, literature. But I can't appreciate art at all. Now, we differ, and we each have gifts, but they're all comprehended under this one thing. The gospel rises above all these things and transforms our thinking concerning all the things we used to enjoy. Sometimes the change that the gospel makes is so thoroughgoing that it puts us beyond what many will do. Now, let me try and explain. There is a passage in the scripture which speaks of this, but I won't go into that now. But you see, here you have an alcoholic. And the Lord graciously shines into his heart and delivers him from his alcohol. And the one who's been delivered like that, he said, I'm never going to touch that stuff again. There will be some for whom it wasn't such a problem. And they won't see the need to react like that. And that person goes way beyond them. But in another thing, you may go way beyond others because it was the thing. Language was the thing with me. Swearing. Every other word. Blasphemy. All sorts of bad language. And I go far beyond. I wouldn't say lots of ordinary things that people say. I would never say. I wouldn't say hell in blasphemy and they'd say, oh, hell, you know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't even say heck, see? I wouldn't say God blind me, nor would I say call blind me. I wouldn't say all sorts of things that many people would think were perfectly harmless, because I know what I've been delivered from, and I know what slime there is there, and I know how easy it would be to fall back if I let it go. But each person who is worked upon by the Spirit of the Lord knows what that gracious Lord in the gospel has done for their heart. And this dog doesn't want to return to his vomit. I am the light of the world. Walk in that light while you have that light. That is to say, while you have the light of life, walk in the light of Christ while you have the opportunity. But he says, he who followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, true life, true values, true hope, true future. Are you like that? Have you taken up the Lord Jesus who says, I am the light of the world? Because when he says, he that followeth me, he's calling people to follow. And if he calls people to follow, if the Lord calls and says, let light shine in the darkness of that heart, you will know it. It's best not to fight it. It is possible to say, I'm not going, and afterwards you will go. But it would be much better to say, I go, sir, and go. May the Lord bless us with understanding of his word. Amen.